Well, hello, dear friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. It is a glad day in December. It's cold. There were even a couple snowflakes this morning, and we rejoice in the Lord. We have many blessings, especially as we think of this Christmas season, the coming of Christ to save us from our sins, to give us purpose. So we have many blessings in the Lord. I'm glad you've joined us today. We want to begin a new chapter in Joshua today, chapter 7. Chapter 6 was a triumphant passage about the walls of Jericho coming down, a great miracle of conquest. God worked in a mighty way through Joshua and the armies of Israel. And we come to chapter 7. So let's begin with prayer, and then we'll read the text together. Father, thank you so much for your love to us. Thank you that we can come to you looking to the scriptures. We ask, Lord, that you would give us discernment, enlightenment. We pray, Lord, you'll make application to our hearts. Help us to understand what your word says, and then understanding it, to apply it to our lives and to put it into action. So, Lord, wherever this goes today, we pray that hearts will be encouraged, hearts will be pointed to Jesus, some discouraged heart will be lifted up. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen. Well, God bless you. Open your Bible to Joshua chapter 7 or find it on your phone. And I would like to read half of the chapter. There are 26 verses in this chapter. I'd like to read half of it today because one of the most important things in inductive Bible study is reading the text. Don't assume that you know what it says. Look for it, read it, and see the detail yourself. So here we go, chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up from there, from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, both he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and surround us and cut off your name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Well, here we have a very contrasted chapter to chapter 6. So let's begin to work our way through with observation of various details here. The first question on our study sheets is this: what is the significance of the first word? Well, maybe the observation question would be, what is the first word? And interpretation would be, what's the significance of it? Well, notice the first word in your Bible: but. But the children of Israel committed a trespass. So how is that one little word significant? It stands in sharp contrast to chapter 6, verse 27. Now, I'd like to remind you that chapter and verse divisions in our English Bibles were not in the original. They are extremely helpful, but they are not inspired. We need them to be able to find verses and chapters and to find our way. But sometimes we have to ignore them. So I want you to, for a minute, just pretend there's no division between chapter 6, verse 27, and chapter 7, verse 1. So let me read verse 27 of 6. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. High point in the nation of Israel. God was with Joshua. His fame, the fame of Israel, was spreading. This was a mountaintop. Chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. We go on with that thought, and it turns a corner, a bad corner, a negative corner, a corner of collision. The children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. So, but stands in sharp contrast to chapter 6 and the victory there in verse 27. But it takes a negative turn and introduces us to what follows. Whenever you see but or for or because of in Scripture, take note. Don't just gloss over it. Stop for a minute and say, wait a minute, what's going on here? So this disjunction changes the direction of the very positive thought that was there in chapter 6, and it introduces a very negative thought. Well, also from verse 1, the second question of observation is, how is Achan identified? Notice the specifics here. Now, I don't know about you, but it may be hard to even know the names of our great-grandfather. But look at how this is delineated here about Achan. It says, the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, his father, the son of Zabdi, his grandfather, the son of Zerah, his great-grandfather, of the tribe of Judah. So it singles him out as to his person, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, and his tribe. So Achan is the one who took of the accursed things. So he is very clearly identified here. His family is identified, his tribe is identified, and his sin is identified. He took of the accursed things. And so let me just insert here a little application. God knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly who I am. He knows our father. He knows our grandfather. He knows our great-grandfather. He knows our great-great-great-grandfather. He knows all of our lineage. And yes, he knows all of our sins. And praise God, he made a way by someone else from the tribe of Judah for our sins to be forgiven. And that someone else from the tribe of Judah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. He came to earth, took on flesh, so that he could go to a cross and die and pay for your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. He was from the tribe of Judah. Praise the Lord. So there is a Christmas application right here from the book of Joshua. Well, notice the third question, also from verse 1. Look how much is packed into verse 1. Describe God's anger is the statement. And the last part says, so the anger of the Lord burned, or your Bible might say was kindled against the children of Israel. When you kindle a fire, it means you light it, you get it going so that it burns. Well, that's what's happening here with God's anger. They lit a fire under God's wrath, a dreadful thing to do. It was burning. That fire was directed against Israel. Notice this. It burned against the children of Israel. What a blessing to have the love of God shine on us. What a horror to have the anger of God burn toward us. So God's anger here was burning toward the children of Israel. Question 4 says, how does the spies' report match up with the battle outcome? And we're talking here about the battle against Ai. So Joshua performed a military maneuver here, as he had done before to Jericho. He sent men to Ai. Notice it's very carefully described there. It's beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel. So he spoke to these spies saying, go up, spy out the country. So the men went up and they spied out Ai. And they come back and they give a report to Joshua. Verse 3, they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. You know, today in the vernacular, we might say this. The spies might have said to Joshua, Joshua, we got it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, sir. We got it. Ai, they're few people. We got this. Not a problem. Well, their report is made foolish. What the spies said and what happened were opposites. They said basically, no need to send the whole army, just 2,000 or 3,000. The people of Ai are small, they're few. But here's what happened. Verse 5, the men of Ai, or the last part of verse 4, but they fled. That is, the people of Israel, the army of Israel, fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, before the city gate, as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. So picture this. Israel is fleeing downhill. The army of Ai is fleeing after them. And they have 36 casualties. You say, well, that's not that many. Yes, it is for the army of the Lord. Here are the people of God. They were victorious in Jericho, not one casualty. And here they have 36 casualties on what they thought to be an easy assignment, an easy battle. So the spies report, don't send a big army up. We got this. It was actually opposite how it turned out. They turned and they ran downhill, and 36 Israelites perished that day. Well, how sad is that? Notice verse 5, the last part of verse 5. And the question 5 is this: what effect did the AI campaign have on Israel? Think back again to verse 27, chapter 6. Joshua's fame spreading, high point, mountaintop for Israel, and including Joshua. And now chapter 7, verse 5b, therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. They lost their heart. They lost their courage. They were afraid. Their hearts melted like butter, or here, water. They became liquid. No motivation, no courage left in them. And then the observation question leads us to this. Compare this with chapter 2:11 and 5:1. And this is a correlation, but we're going to put it in here. Notice chapter 2 of Joshua and verse 11. Here is Rahab, the resident of Jericho. Here's what she's saying, to the spies. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, you Israelites. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. What a contrast. Rahab is telling to the spies that went into Jericho, the hearts of the Jericho residents have melted in fear at the report of the works of the God of Israel. What a contrast to chapter 7. Also notice chapter 5 of Joshua and verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. So in contrast to Rahab saying the inhabitants of Jericho are fearing, they're trembling because of you Israelites. In contrast to chapter 5, verse 1, where the Amorite, Canaanite kings were trembling, their hearts were melting because of the works and power of Israel's God. Now in chapter 7, verse 5, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Now Israel's hearts are melting, and we're going to see tomorrow more details on this. I hope your curiosity is piqued. I hope you'll read the rest of this chapter and look for details here, and we'll pick up there tomorrow. Praise God, someone from the tribe of Judah has come to take away the sin of the world. We have to come to him by faith, trust in the Lord Jesus. Believe on him, that he died for you, that he rose again. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved today. And believing friend, let us not think we can hide one sin from our all-knowing God. Today I want to go to prayer for two different places. One is a remote group of islands way out in the South Pacific Ocean. You may have heard of Samoa. Well, these islands are somewhat near there. At least they're in the ocean, we might say in the vicinity, although miles away. They are the Cook Islands, the Cook Islands. And so we want to pray for these little islands here. Here is a prayer request. They have a strong Christian legacy, but increasing numbers are nominal or even non-religious, and the cults are the fastest growing groups. Pray for reversal of these trends and for new life to come to the mainline churches. And then I want to go to another part of the world, to Central America in the Caribbean Sea. And on the one side in the North Pacific Ocean, on the other side, and here we have Costa Rica. Costa Rica, connecting to Nicaragua and Panama. And here's a prayer request for Costa Rica. A failure to disciple converts. Most Costa Rican churches are good at reaching out and winning quote-unquote converts, but they fail in raising them in godly lifestyles and biblical knowledge. When times get difficult, spiritually stunted Christians either fall away or migrate to a different church. So there's a great need for discipleship there. And may I say, that is a pressing need in the United States of America, that people would disciple, that Christians would disciple new believers and others. Let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you so much.